Hare Krishna. I'd like to seek the blessings of all the devotees before discussing the subject matter of lessons from the life of Srila Madhavendra Puri. So, in our discussion yesterday, we were talking about how after Madhavendra Puri wakes up from the dream that he got from the Lord, he gathers all the residents of Vrindavan from near the Govardhan Hill, collects all of them, brings them to dig up the place to bring the deity of Gopal, modern day Srinath ji, out of this place, and then performs a massive installation ceremony for Sri Gopal on top of the Govardhan Hill. And we were discussing yesterday how service attitude towards the Lord is like iron filing. And enjoyer attitude, that I am the enjoyer, is like wood. The Lord is like a magnet. Just like a magnet will attract the iron filing, similarly, the Lord is very much attracted by a service attitude. And just like a piece of wood will never be attracted to a magnet, similarly, the attitude to enjoy can never be attractive to the Lord. And in elaborate detail, we discussed yesterday of how Lord Ramchandra, after meeting Hanumanji for the first time, he never spoke to him for 4 full months. He spoke to Shurpanakha, a demoness. He spoke to Kabandha, a demon. He spoke to Guha, a tribal king. He spoke to Shabari, a tribal lady. But he did not speak to Hanuman. And why he did not speak to Hanuman? Yesterday we discussed. Because Hanuman, when he was asked by Ram, "Who are you?" he said, "I am the servant of secretary of Sugriva." And Lord Ram did not like it. Everyone is a servant of Krishna, Ram, and if anyone identifies oneself to be a servant of anyone else except the Lord does not like it. And therefore Hanumanji was there. He did not speak to him for 4 months. And then we discussed the whole comparison, if some of you were there, remember how Hanuman went to Lanka to rescue Sita. And the whole comparison we discussed of Sita with the soul in this world. And then when Hanuman burnt Lanka, when Hanuman was brought in front of Ravan, Ravan asked him, "Who are you?" And it is at that time, after 4 months, realizing his mistake, Hanuman said that, "I am the servant of Lord Ramchandra." Therefore, after finding Sita, when Hanuman came back to Ram, now Ram embraced him and spoke to him. So yesterday we were talking how service attitude and this attitude that I am a servant of the Lord is very attractive to the Lord. Madhavendra Puri, he arranged for all the residents of Vrindavan in the Govardhan area to engage in service to the deity of Sri Gopal. Realizing one thing, that the only currency that can buy something in the spiritual world is devotional service with a service attitude. There is no other currency. One cannot buy Krishna, one cannot buy a seat in the spiritual world, one cannot buy the mercy of Krishna with any other currency except the currency of the spiritual world. Just like many times Westerners, when they come to India, they carry their pounds. If someone from England comes to India, he carries pounds. And even if he has a 100-pound note in his hand, he cannot buy a single fruit in India unless he changes that currency to Indian rupees. And therefore, many times when Westerners come to India, the taxi wallahs, cab wallahs, they cheat Western people a lot. You know, the shop wallahs cheat a lot. Once one Japanese man came to India, and he was on his way to the airport after his whole trip was over. And as he was going to the airport, he was sitting in the car. He had rupees in his hands. But as he was sitting in the car, Indian car, Premier Padmini, going slow, you know. And then this Japanese man was sitting and he saw a Mitsubishi passing by very fast. So he told the taxi driver, "Just see, Mitsubishi from Japan, our car. See, so fast, made in Japan." Then the taxi driver didn't say anything. After a while, again he passed ahead. He saw a Toyota passing by. He turned to the taxi driver and said, "Just see, you know, Toyota, made in Japan, so fast." After a while, he again passed by. He saw a Subaru, sports car. And he said, just see, Subaru, made in Japan, so fast. And he reached the airport. And then he saw the tariff meter. And it was very expensive. It is not the money that is taken, usually, by cabs. So he said, what is this? Why so much money on your taxi meter, tariff meter? He said, tariff meter made in India, very fast. You know, very fast. And therefore, it is a common thing that when people come to the from the West to India, they don't know much about the rates. Even if they can change a pound into rupees, they usually cheated. I remember my first visit to London, and for whatever reason, whoever was come to pick was late. Myself and Radha Gopinath Prabhu came, and we were told it is a summer season. It was April. So when they told us it was a summer season, for us, we had the idea of summer season in India. So I had some warm clothes, but that we had put inside the bag. And when it came off the airport, nothing. And my God, at the airport, it was freezing. Freezing. And somehow, for whatever reason, the devotees were late. And the only money we had was some rupees. You know, we didn't even have any pounds. Some rupees, and we were standing there half an hour in the freezing cold. For whatever reason, the devotees were late. Traffic or whatever. And I remember thinking I should make a call, phone call. And then I pulled out the little bag which I had to see the money in it. And it had all rupees, 1,000 rupee notes. And for a call, you would probably need a pound, which is only 80 rupees, 75, 80 rupees, you know. But with all the 1,000 rupee currency notes in my hand, I could not make one phone call in Great Britain, you know. Could not make one phone call here and stood there in freezing cold with all my 1,000 rupee notes, probably 25,000 rupees in my bag. With 25,000 rupees, couldn't make one phone call, you know. Because when we go to another country, we have to change what we have to the currency that is valid there. And so also, when we want to go to the spiritual world, nothing of this world can buy anything there. If I come from India to Britain, I have to change my currency. If I have to go from Britain to India, I have to change my currency. And if I have to go from the material world to the spiritual world, this currency will be okay? No. In the countries of this world, the currencies don't work in other countries. What to speak of the material world and the spiritual world? And therefore, the currency, the only currency that works in the spiritual world is devotional service with a service attitude. Therefore, the Bhagavatam explains, Etavat janma safalyam dehinam iha dehishu pranair arthair dhiyair vacha shreya sarvasya sarvada. That our pranair, our energy, arthair, our wealth, our intelligence, dhiya, our words, vacha, everything should be used in service to the Lord and for the welfare of the others. Because when we use that, we change this into the currency that can work in the spiritual world. With this energy, we can't go. But when this energy is used in service, it gets converted to a currency that is understandable in the spiritual world. With the money, the pounds and the dollars and the rupees, we cannot go. But when those pounds, those dollars, those rupees are used in service to the Lord and for the welfare of the others, it is converted in a way that we can use it there. With our intelligence, our words, our resources, we cannot go buy anything there. But when we use it for the welfare of others and in service to the Lord, it gets converted in a way that we can go to the spiritual world. Only this will be of use there. Devotional service. Every penny, every pound, every shilling, every word, every thought, every act, every deed can be converted. Can be converted in a currency that is understandable in Golok Vrindavan by service. Service to the Lord, service to His devotees, and service to all living beings at large. You know. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada is Bhavanand Prabhu, and he told Bhavanand Prabhu, you are engaging in so much service, I assure you that you will be allowed in the spiritual world. He said, and when you come to the spiritual world, I shall take you by your hand, hold you by your hand and bring you into a grove of Vrindavan. And I shall put you in front of Krishna face to face, and then I will leave. Only you and Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, even I don't want to be there. It's a relationship between you and Krishna. You have done so much seva, converted that currency. Because of all of that service, I'll take you there. And then I'll just leave you alone with Krishna, and I shall leave. You know? And then Bhavananpuru asked Srila Prabhupada, but Prabhupada, when I come to the spiritual world, how will I recognize you? Prabhupada said, you don't worry, that is my job, I'll recognize you. You know, you don't have to recognize me, I will recognize you. And therefore, Madhavendra Puri, realizing this, engaged each and every single one there in Vrindavan according to their respective capacities to serve. He knew this is the only currency that will take them back. And therefore, for those who had tremendous wealth, he asked them for wealth to have the deity installation. For those who could cook, he engaged them in cooking. For those who could worship, he engaged them in worship. And like I was mentioning yesterday, Madhavendra Puri created a community of seva. A community of devotees means a community based on devotional service. Devotional service according to one's particular capacity. Everyone has a certain capacity. In Vrindavan, we find here Madhavendra Puri engaging each person according to his propensity and his capacity. Of course, in India, they pronounce it in different ways. When a teacher called a father and said to the father, I've been teaching your son the word electricity for the last 2 weeks, but he just can't pronounce it right. So instead of electricity, he has been saying electricity. You know, constantly I've been training him, but he only keeps saying electricity. So the father says, what to do? That is his capacity. You know, you know, he can't help. That is his capacity. So whether we call it capacity or capacity, the fact of the matter is that Madhavendra Puri engaged every resident of Vrindavan in service to Sri Gopal according to his propensity and according to his capacity. And thus, His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj, he was mentioning in one talk, he was saying that in the material world, our good fortune is others' misfortune. Somehow happens to be like this. If we become fortunate, we are becoming fortunate at the cost of someone else's fortune. Most often, if not always. If I get a job in a company, then someone else has lost that job because of my getting that job. So I have been crowned to become fortunate by getting that job, and that other person has become unfortunate. A man came to Microsoft Incorporation in Seattle, and he came up for a job of being a sweeper. That's all he knew. He didn't know much. Janitor. So one of the HR people, even for a sweeper, HR people had to interview. You know, the HRM, a human resource manager, sat there and he interviewed. He said, yeah, you demonstrate how you will brew. So he demonstrated. He said, fantastic, no problem. You're doing a good job, we will give you a job. So can we have your email ID? He said, I don't have an email ID. He said, if you don't have an email ID, you don't exist for us. Get out of here. You won't get this job. So this man left. Of course, he was unfortunate. He lost a job. And because he lost the job, someone else was fortunate who had an email ID. He got the job. This man, when he came out of the Microsoft office, he was thinking, no, now what should I do? He only had $10 in his pocket. So he went and purchased a crate of tomatoes. This is a real story. He purchased a crate of tomatoes. And then he went and he started selling tomatoes house to house. And within 4 hours, he had made $60. He said, not bad after all. If I don't have, why should I depend on Microsoft? So he started selling tomatoes daily. Within a year's time, he had a retail shop of tomatoes. And within 5 years, he was the largest wholesaler of tomatoes in the entire United States of America. So then he decided, okay, let me do my insurance, medical insurance and business insurance. So he called an insurance broker. And the insurance broker saw his paper. He said, my God, you're amazing. Huh? So all this money and all that. He said, well, we'll sort it all out. Can we have your email ID? He said, I don't have an email ID. So the insurance broker said, sir, without an email ID, you become such a big business magnate. Imagine if you would have had an email ID, what would you be? He said, a sweeper. I would be a sweeper if I would have had an email ID. And therefore, in this world, someone's fortune is always another's misfortune. Devamrit Maharaj was explaining. In a university, if someone stands first, someone is not going to stand first. The guy who stands first and gets the first rank in the university is making his fortune at the cost of someone else. Someone else has failed or someone else has come second. One father, he was beating the child black and blue one morning. So one neighbor came and said, why are you beating your child so much? He said, no, tomorrow is the examination results. He said, results are tomorrow. Why are you beating him today? He said, no, I'm out of town tomorrow. You know, so I know what the results will be. So let me give him a good spanking before I leave. Someone's fortune always in this world comes at the cost of someone's misfortune. The Indian cricket team, you know, everyone was so happy here. And our Prabhu here in the back, he sent me a picture on email, Yashwant Prabhu, where how the Indians in Queensbury, at the Queensbury station when India won the match, World Cup, all the Indians climbed a 40 or 60 feet pole and put the Indian flag there. You know, put the Indian flag there. Everyone was so excited. But imagine the Sri Lankans. Imagine what happened to the Sri Lankans. It was a mourning day. Once when Pakistan lost against India, 70,000 television sets were broken in Pakistan. In their homes, different homes. Can you imagine that? 70,000, this is statistics, newspaper report. 70,000 television sets were broken off. So someone wins, someone loses. Someone's fortune, someone's misfortune. You know, Rahul Dravid and Jay Shrigal, two Indian cricket players, old timers now, from Bangalore. So once they lost against Pakistan, and they couldn't show their face. Somehow they came to Bangalore. And while they were in Bangalore, this man, Dravid, he thought, I have to go out. I haven't been out for so long. Just worried about what people will think of me. So he tied a big turban on his head, you know, grew his beard and everything, and decided no one will detect me. So when he went to a shopping mall, no one detected him. But one lady came up and said, hey, Rahul Dravid, what are you doing here? Lost? You're not ashamed to come out? You know? After a couple of months, he thought, my God, how did she know I am? I'm completely different looks. So this time, he grew his long hair and changed his, put contact lenses which are different color, you know, blue eyes, changed his whole look and went to a restaurant to eat. And this lady was there. He said, hey, Rahul Dravid, you're not, you're still coming to eat, huh? You lost against Pakistan, you don't know? He was so upset. He called her, how the hell do you know? He said, I am Jay Shrigal, you know. Another cricket player who lost against Pakistan. So both of them were moving around in disguise. So only they detected each other. But the fact is, in this world, someone wins, someone loses. One's fortune, another's misfortune. In America, police, they're very scared of love triangles. You know what a love triangle is? One man, two men after one lady, or two ladies after one man. And they're very scared to get involved. Because one will get the other. One man will get that lady, the other man will be left out. And if he's left out, what he will do? The police is very scared and apprehensive of dealing with these love triangles. But that is so. Two men are after a lady, or two ladies are after men. One will get him and the other won't. And someone's fortune, if it's called fortune, I don't know. But, you know, someone's fortune will be considered as the other person's misfortune. So as only as Devamrita Swami Maharaj was mentioning this, in this world, one's fortune comes at the cost of someone else's misfortune. He said, but in devotional service, that is not true. Everyone can be fortunate. Everyone will have the opportunity to serve Krishna. Because Krishna is unlimited. Krishna is unlimited. His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj was explaining, during the Damodar Leela, Mother Yashoda was feeding Krishna milk and Krishna was drinking milk. And because Krishna is unlimited. Krishna could drink unlimited milk. Damodar Leela shows that Krishna is unlimited and can take unlimited service from unlimited souls for unlimited amount of time in unlimited varieties of ways. Unlimited people for unlimited time in an unlimited quantity in unlimited ways can serve Krishna. And therefore, it's not that if I give money to Krishna, I am fortunate, and now Krishna has money, so he doesn't need others' money, and you can't give money to Krishna. He allows everyone to donate. I can speak for Krishna and others can't. He'll allow everyone to glorify him. I can dance in ecstasy, so now others can't dance in ecstasy. Everyone can dance in ecstasy for Krishna. Devamrita Maharaj was saying that when he came first to Krishna consciousness, he was reading the Krishna book, and in the Krishna book he read that the spiritual world is unlimited. And he thought, my God, spiritual world is unlimited? I must book my seat today. Because so many people must be wanting to go there. If it gets full, I'll not get my chance. We are so conditioned to thinking of getting full. Movie theater, tickets full, house full. I don't know if they call it here in India, they call it house full. You know, you can't go in. Train, flights full, you can't go in. You know, and therefore, the condition concept makes us think that if I go to the spiritual world, even that will become full. So let me see how to reserve my ticket. You know, Devamrita Maharaj is mentioning, he was thinking, Krishna is unlimited, the spiritual world is unlimited. The ability of Krishna to accept our service. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulanand ki, Jai Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Jai Shishi Gaur Nitai ki, Jai. That ability is also absolutely unlimited. And therefore, it is said that a devotee has to take the role of a servant based on three P's. The first P is to understand that there cannot be a greater position in the world than being a servant of the Lord. So the first P stands for position. Vrindavan Das Thakur in his Chaitanya Bhagavat explains that the greatest title that anyone can have is not Lord. The greatest title that anyone can have is Das, a servant. Right. Srimati Radharani, it's quite interesting. If you analyze the names of our deities, they are Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Radha Landanishwara, Radha Ras Bihari, Radha Gopinath. Krishna's names are all changing. But Srimati Radharani's name is constant. Krishna is called Gokulananda, Krishna is called Gopinath, Krishna is called Ras Bihari, Krishna is called Landanishwara. Krishna's names keep on changing. But Srimati Radharani's name remains the same, Radha. Why? Because the word Radha comes from Aradhana. Aradhana means to worship, to serve, servant. Srimati Radharani has many other names. Many, many other names. But she does not want to be called by any other name. She does not like to be called by any other name because other names have many different connotations and meanings. She always wants to be called by the name Radha because that word Radha denotes her position as a servant of Krishna to worship and to serve. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada would always say, you know, in the name that we get, do not worry about the rest of it. Always remember the Das part. You know, we can be very excited by how the name changes. And many times devotees go to their spiritual master before initiation and tell the spiritual master, Maharaj, I have this choice, you know. If it's possible, please give me this name. And Srila Prabhupada would always emphasize, the most important part of a spiritual name is the Das. And if one realizes that the position of being a servant is the greatest in the world, one will take the service to Krishna very seriously. One will not take it half-heartedly. One will take it very seriously because it's the greatest position to be in. You know, there was a man called Charles Haffey, American man, and he fought in the Vietnam War, and he happened to kill so many Vietnamese that he got an identity crisis. He just did not want to identify himself with his own name. So he made an appeal in the court. that when I die, I want this name to be put on my tomb. Please change my name. So he made an epitaph so that when he dies, he'll be put in the tomb and this epitaph would be put, you know. And on that, this name should be written. So he made an appeal. What should your name be? So he said to the court, my name should be, don't say Charles Heffy, because I've killed so many people, I can't take it that I've killed so many people. So change my name to, I am what I am and I'll be what I'll be. So the court was wondering, what is his name? And it's too long a name, you know. So finally the court gave a decision in his favor saying, we can't give such a long name, but you can keep the first part. I am what I am. So if you go to America today, there is a tomb of Charles Heffy, right? And there on the tombstone, the epitaph, it's not written Charles Heffy. The name is the tomb of I am what I am, you know. Strange name, you know. Imagine where someone comes and asks you, what is your name? Say, I am what I am. Very strange name. And therefore, I am what I am. Servant of Krishna, you know. An eternal servant of Krishna. And therefore, the first P is position. The second P is privilege. Service is a great privilege. It is conferred by the Lord's blessings. Any opportunity that one gets to serve is the greatest privilege in the world, because Krishna has personally sent that privilege. Srila Prabhupada explained that when one chants Hare Krishna, one is asking Srimati Radharani and Krishna, please engage me in your service. And by the chanting of the holy names, when one gets the service, many times one feels burdened by that service. Anytime, at any point of time, if a person considers it is a privilege, one will never think it is a burden. Service is a burden of love. It is indeed a burden, but a burden of love. A mother will carry a child on the hand. Of course, nowadays they have those pouches. I don't know what they call it. You know, they put it, mothers and fathers, they put that kind of bag and the child is there. Still it is a burden. Still the child is heavy. But on the hands, the child is really heavy. No man or no lady had to go to the gym in the ancient times, because they would just carry the child. And the child, children are sometimes very heavy. You know, big plump, their cheeks are very big and plump, you know. And the mother's carrying the child in her arm, sometimes for 2 hours. And it's such a burden. But the mother considers that as a burden of love. If that same child dies, and someone comes and says, you're relieved, Nana? Such relief. Now your child is dead. Now no more carrying burden. Experiencing peace, relief. Will the mother like it? He said, you nonsense. Just get lost from here. What are you talking? It's a burden. But it's a burden of love. Give a businessman a briefcase, a small briefcase with 100,000 100-pound notes. It's very heavy. Big burden. He'll say, no, big burden, take it away. I don't want your donation. Huh? Take it away. Anyone who gives a donation to the temple will say, your bag is very heavy. Please take it away. You know, too much burden, take it away. Oh, burden of love. Please give it. You know, please give it to us. And therefore, a devotee considers service to be a great privilege. It is a burden of love. It is a burden. Indeed, it is a burden. It can never be stress-free. If anyone thinks that outside in the world, people who are working in the corporate world, they are stressed, and devotees are not stressed, they are in bliss, experiencing ecstasy, you know, just crying tears of joy, you know, and the hair is standing on end and the throat is choking up and they're having all smiles and all kinds of ecstatic symptoms. No. Devotional service is as stressful, if not more, sometimes more, you know, as stressful. Because there is a burden. But that is a burden of love. And when it's a burden of love, that is very satisfying and joy-giving. You know, devotees, Prabhupada was sitting, and a devotee, he went out and he saw a big mansion and came and told Prabhupada, I think we can have this mansion for a temple. Prabhupada said, how much money? And this is back in the 70s. This devotee said, only about $400,000, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, $400,000? Which means we'll have to work hard, collect so much money, so much anxiety, so much trouble, so much burden. Forget it. And the devotee was ecstatic. Because he realized, now I don't have to go collecting funds, working hard, stress-free life. I'll just chant Hare Krishna, have a nice time. And then, after about 10 minutes, Prabhupada rang his bell. And the devotee came again. The servant came, said, call that devotee. So he came in again. Prabhupada said, if you do not take that burden, if you do not take that anxiety and trouble, if you do not take that stress to work for Krishna, you'll simply eat, sleep, and fall down. And therefore, we must take anxiety for service to Krishna, Srila Prabhupada said. It's a privilege that we are blessed with this opportunity to serve. One disciple had left Krishna consciousness, and Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to him. And in the last few lines of the letter, Srila Prabhupada said, I have become very forlorn to see that you have once again fallen into the trap of the material energy. Krishna gave you a wonderful opportunity and a privilege to serve him. You have lost it. Please try and come again. If not you, someone else will do it definitely. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will send someone else to do that service. Probably he'll send someone else way more qualified than you. But you are privileged. He has given you the choice to serve, given you the privilege to serve. See if you can come back. And once again, start serving the Lord. Lakshmiji in the spiritual world is holding a broom and serving Vaikuntha, serving the abode of Vaikuntha by brooming Vaikuntha, you know, where there is no dust, simply to get the favor of the Supreme Lord, Sri Narayan. And therefore, service is the greatest position. First P is for position. Can't be a greater position than that of the servant of the Lord. Second P is privilege. It is a great privilege that is conferred upon us by the Lord. And the third P is pleasure. It is the only way to feel pleasure in Krishna consciousness. Everything else one may do, but unless until one engages in practical devotional service, there is no question of experiencing pleasure. Many people read and they get big scholars, become big scholars of Shastra. But till the time they don't engage in service to the Lord and the devotees, they can never experience true pleasure in Krishna consciousness. Because through service one connects to the source of all pleasure, Ramchandra, the reservoir of all pleasure. Through Shastra, through Gyan, one cannot connect. Through tapasya, one cannot connect easily, you know. But through seva, one can very well connect and experience pleasure. Therefore, we know the famous story of Vishal Prabhu. And at the gate of Vrindavan temple, Prabhupada coming from a morning walk, and Vishal Prabhu comes down there from Italy, and he falls on his knees and he looks at Prabhupada. And from the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, so by the grace of providence, we have been blessed with the captain of the ship of our life in the form of His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Glorifying Srila Prabhupada, you know, quoting Shastric verses. And Srila Prabhupada, furious, takes his cane and points to a puddle close by, puddle of water. By the grace of providence, you have been blessed with a spiritual master like me, but by the grace of providence, is this puddle lying here? Is this the grace of providence? And Prabhupada turned to Vishal Prabhu and said, do something practical, you know. Do something practical. Don't waste your time in just giving these words of glory. Do some practical devotional service. And therefore, when one realizes that devotional service, being a servant, is the highest position, devotional service is the greatest privilege, and it is the only means to get the highest pleasure in Krishna consciousness, then one takes the opportunity to serve very seriously. If one doesn't focus on these three P's, then comes the next three C's. You know. And what is the three C's? The first C is comparison, isn't it? I compare with others. He has this service, I don't have this service. He has been given this much responsibility, I haven't been given this much responsibility. He gets this much facility, I don't get this much facility. The conditioned soul is always in the mode of comparison. You know, always comparing. Comparing oneself with others, and many times comparing even one's services with others. And what is the basis of comparison? Facility and recognition. All services are equal. Whether one is brooming the temple, whether one is cleaning the washrooms, or whether one is offering an aarti on the altar, from the point of view of the Lord, each service has the same merit, does not change. Based on one's capacity, one can engage in that service to the Lord, and it just does not have any difference to the Lord. For the Lord, it's all the same. But for the mind, it is not the same. For the mind, it thinks one is sitting on the Vyasasana and giving a big talk and receiving so much recognition and facility, and I am there cleaning the washroom and no one even looks at me. No one even knows that I'm cleaning the washroom. No one even knows that, you know, I'm doing this service. There's no facility that comes along. And therefore, many times, the mind of a sadhaka, practitioner, devotee, can put one in the comparison mode. This is a good service. This is a bad service. This is a higher service. This is a lower service. This is a better service. This is not so much better service. This service will gain me recognition. This service will only keep me in the background. So this comparison next leads to the second C. And the second C is complaining and cribbing. Rather than being grateful for the opportunity to serve, one gets in the mode of complaining. Constantly cribbing and complaining about the kind of service one has. Constantly cribbing and complaining about the burden one has to go through. Sometimes devotees will come and say, too much for me to do. I've been doing it for too long. Now at least change my service. Now at least give me something to do. Srimati Radharani has never wanted to change her service. She's been a cook and she's been a cook for all through. Of course, she does all services. She makes garlands and she does everything. But she's been a cook and she's satisfied being a cook. Absolutely satisfied being a cook. There are many other devotees who are doing many services for Krishna and she's never compared herself with anyone. Thinking that, oh, she's doing this better service or he's doing this better service. In fact, she pushes other devotees to go to close to Krishna. You do it better, na? You do it for him. I don't do it so well. You do it. You know, never complaining, never cribbing. Comparison leads to cribbing and complaining about, I lost that opportunity. I didn't have it. They didn't give it to me. You know, I could have had it. But they don't understand. They don't understand how I'm a pure devotee. They just think that the other person is a pure devotee. They give him. And that complaining leads to the third C. And the third C is criticism. Criticism of the devotee who does that service. Actually, he does not know. Actually, he doesn't deserve. But you know, he butters up the authorities. You know, he always goes and does maska maring to the authorities. You know, and therefore, aage aage karta rata hamesha. You know, goes ahead, always saying, what can I do for you, Prabhu? Can I get you some Mahaprasad? Can I get you this? And that's why they got that service. Criticism about that devotee, criticism about the authorities, criticism about the spiritual master many times. Many times devotees criticize the spiritual master that he doesn't have sense that he has given me this service. Doesn't he understand what is my talent? Doesn't he understand my situation? And he's giving me this service, engaging me in such a service? Criticize the spiritual master and ultimately criticize Krishna, you know. And therefore, if one doesn't focus on the three P's of position, privilege and pleasure, then one becomes a victim of the three C's, comparison, complaining and criticism, you know. And when this happens, how to get out of this mentality? When one sees that others are doing good service by the three T's, right, you know. By the three T's. And the first T is to focus and understand, probably he has more talent than me in doing that service. Everyone has a different talent. Here in Vrindavan, all the different devotees who were being engaged by Madhavendra Puri had different talents. When the DT of Gopal had to be picked up, whom did Madhavendra Puri call? Some skinny weaklings? So many devotees were trying to lift Gopal, but Kaviraj Goswami calls him Mahabhari Thakur. Mahabhari means very heavy lord. And skinny weaklings cannot lift up, they can't lift themselves up. Thin devotees. So Madhavendra Puri did not call skinny people. He knew they don't have that talent. He called Mahamahabalishtha Loka Ekatrakariya Mahamahabalishtha. Very powerful, strong men he collected. You lift Gopal. And all the powerful men felt, wow, what a privilege. We got the seva to take Gopal on the Govardhan hill. And then he called someone who was not so strong, thin, skinny, but very Brahminical. Now you worship. The strong people knew that these people have the talent to worship. And those who were worshipping knew that the strong people have the talent to lift Gopal away. I can't do his job and he can't do my job. And therefore, when someone has a service which is apparently better than us, there is no better or lesser service. Every service is of the same merit, the same value to Krishna. But apparently to our vision, if someone has a better service which brings better facility and recognition on the material platform, then the first T that one must focus on is probably he has talent. A lot more talent than me in doing that. He qualifies to do what he does and I don't in terms of my abilities to do it. I am not Mahabalishta, therefore they don't call me to lift things. Anyone, no one wants to lift things anyways, isn't it? You know? And then, if one finds that talent-wise that person is okay, I'm also okay. Why didn't they give me then? I also can do this and he also can do this, but he was chosen, why not me? So the second T is trust. It's not just the talent. Many people have the talent. But that person also has to be trustworthy to get that service. When we see someone else getting that service better than us, first thing we should think is probably is more talented than me in doing this. If not, then the second thing is probably he is more trustworthy. More trustworthy in terms of reliability, in terms of competence, in terms of character. Therefore, he's been given that service. And if someone sees that he's not even that much trustworthy, then comes the third T. And what is the third T? The third T is a test. It is a test to my faith. It is a test to my consciousness. Krishna is arranging that someone else gets that. Why? So that I be tested. So that my consciousness, my devotional service, my attitude be tested. Am I envious? Am I competitive? Or am I cooperative? Therefore, 3 P's, 3 C's, 3 T's of service. Right? 3 P's, what is the service? The greatest position to have of servant. The greatest privilege conferred upon us. And the greatest pleasure derived from that service. If we don't focus on this, we come to 3 C's. Comparison with others for what they do. Therefore, complaining that I lost the opportunity. They are partial to me. And then leading to criticism of Krishna, of devotees, of authorities, of Vaishnavas. And to avoid this, when we see others having more responsibility and service than us, we follow the 3 T's. First, that he probably has more talent. Second, he probably is more trustworthy. Third, probably it is a test that Krishna has sent me to see how I react, how I respond. What is my attitude? Do I become envious, competitive, critical? Or do I become grateful, cooperative, assisting? Right. And therefore, in Vrindavan, on the Govardhan Hill, Madhavendra Puri created a community of people with so many different talents and capacities, each one engaged in service to Sri Gopal, everyone satisfied because they were all cooperative with each other. The way to be satisfied is cooperation. The garland that Krishna wears, Gokulananda wears, is a garland with variety of flowers. If the same colored flower in that garland, it's very monotonous. There's blue, there's green, there's yellow, there's red. Multiple colors in the garland, and that variety makes Gokulananda very pleased. So community of devotees is a garland of devotees on Gokulananda. With multiple talents, multiple abilities, and when everyone cooperates together, it's a beautiful garland as an offering to Sri Krishna. When Lord Krishna appeared in this world, he appeared in a very interesting way. Krishna appears to create cooperation. And many times when Krishna appears in our life, we choose not to cooperate. When Krishna appeared, just the day he was appearing, Janmashtami day, the Srimad Bhagavatam commentaries on the 10th canto explain that all the sages were sitting in meditation and offering Suman to Krishna. What does Suman mean? Man means mind. And Suman means good mind. Putra means son. And Suputra means a good son. Similarly, Man means mind. And Suman means a very good mind. So all the sages were sitting there and offering their great mind, their clean mind to Krishna, Suman. All the demigods thought, our minds are not clear like the sages. We have some desires in our heart. The sages don't even want to lord it over, but many of us want this position of being a demigod. What should we offer to Krishna? Even they decided to offer Suman. And in Sanskrit, Suman means flowers. So whereas the sages were offering their mind, Suman, the demigods were offering their flowers. So the Gandharvas saw this. And they thought the sages are offering their minds and the demigods are offering flowers for Krishna to come in this world. What should we offer? They realized we don't have a clean mind and we don't have flowers. We have a voice. So the Gandharvas started singing on the occasion of Krishna's appearance. And as the Gandharvas started singing, the Apsaras saw this. And when the Apsaras saw this, they realized, hey, they are singing. We don't have a good mind. We don't have flowers. And we don't have a good voice. Sometimes like me singing. We sing. You know? Sometimes someone sings, my God, yes, bhakti, but voice, oh my God, it can be pathetic. So we don't have a good voice, so what should we do? So the Apsaras thought, let's start dancing. So it was a festival where someone was offering mind, someone was offering flowers, someone was singing, someone was dancing, and the clouds in the sky thought, what should we do? We don't even have a mind, what to speak of offering a mind. What should we do? So the clouds realized, we should probably start thundering. Start making some loud sound, like kettle drums. When there is a celebration, there are big kettle drums that are being played. So the clouds thought, let us now start thundering like kettle drums to celebrate the appearance of Lord Krishna in this world. But as they started thundering, they realized that their thunder was making the singing of Gandharvas very feeble and not heard by Krishna. They thought, this is not right. Because we are doing our service to Krishna, the other service is being affected. No. We cannot do this. So the clouds, the acharyas have explained, the clouds deliberately reduce their sound levels, decibel levels. Manda, manda, jaladharaha. Manda, manda means very softly they started thundering. Why? Because they wanted Krishna to also accept the service of the Gandharvas singing. And therefore, Krishna appears in this world to create feelings of cooperation. Where the Gandharvas, the Vidyadharas, the Kinnaras, the Apsaras, the clouds, the sages, the demigods, everyone cooperated together based upon their respective abilities and talents to create a celebration for the appearance of Krishna on the day of Janmashtami. And therefore, here on the Govardhan Hill was a festival. Not festivals of simply yogurt being put on Krishna. That yogurt Krishna doesn't relish in an Abhishek. Not just festival of Annakoot with so many varieties being offered to Giridhari Gopal Srinathji on Govardhan by Madhavendra Puri and his followers. That's not so much relishable to Krishna. Every preparation becomes relishable to Krishna. Every flower on a garland becomes relishable to Krishna. Every single jewelry on the outfit becomes relishable to Krishna. Only when there is feelings of cooperation amongst the devotees. And oh, how Srinathji Gopal enjoyed that festival is incredible, amazing. In Hyderabad, India, in a stadium, there was a race, a running race. 8 girls, tiny girls, were competing. The stadium was full. As the girls were running, just crossed, the whistles blew and the girls started running. One girl fell down while running. As she fell down while running, the other 7 girls came back. They were already ahead of her. The other 7 girls came back. And firstly, they went and nursed the wound of this girl who had fallen. One of the girls amongst the others patted her, gave her a kiss and said, "You're okay? You're fine?" And then they picked her up And all the seven girls held their hands with each other, and together they crossed the final line of the race, the running race, and the whole stadium was applauding. In fact, some were in tears. Why? Because these seven girls were mentally challenged. You know, all of them mentally challenged, participating in a sprint run, and one girl fell off. And even mentally challenged girls, probably because they were mentally challenged, they understood cooperation is important and teamwork is important. Many times when mind is all fine, when the mind is fine, it plays too many games in terms of cooperation. You know, together they crossed the final line. Krishna doesn't care how many books we distribute. Krishna doesn't care how many lectures we have given. Krishna doesn't care how many people we bring to the path of Krishna consciousness and surpass everyone else and put them behind and cross the line saying, see, I am the winner. He doesn't care for that. Figures don't matter to Krishna. They have never mattered. They have never mattered in eternity. Figures have never mattered to Krishna. It's good to bring them for his service. But what has mattered to Krishna is a spirit of cooperation, right? Not just passing the line, crossing the line alone, but hand in hand with all the devotees, crossing the final line. When we help each other to cross that line, that pleases Krishna the most. The success of Madhavendra Puri was creating a community like that at Govardhan, where everyone was satisfied with his respective service, not comparing, not complaining, not criticizing, but cooperating with each other to satisfy Shri Gopal. And in the verse we are reading today, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, it was such a massive festival at Govardhan Hill. Ekadina udyoge aiche mahotsava kaila ekadine. In one day. It was all organized in one day. If we have the right people, with the right motives, the right abilities, the right attitudes, and if we have the empowerment of Krishna, nothing is impossible. One day is sufficient. Ekadine udyoge aiche mahotsava kaila. In one day, he celebrated such a festival. Gopala prabhave anne na janila. Others could not understand. People around were bewildered. People just could not understand. Anne na janila. How is this possible? In one day, the deity is removed, the deity is brought up, the deity is given abhishek, and a festival that was never held in ages after Krishna performed the Annakut ceremony was held by Madhavendra Puri. How? Gopala Prabhave, by the empowerment of Shri Gopal. All the devotees were cooperative, Gopal empowered. Krishna empowered them in such a way that within one day, there was a massive festival that took place, you know. And therefore, in Bombay, you know, they have this sea link road which links where we live to a certain area. You can avoid 29 traffic lights by going by that sea link road now in Bombay, which means about an hour's time saved. You have to pay toll, of course. That bridge is about 5.6 kilometers long. The budget for that bridge was $355 million. And several thousands of workers were working on that for 13 years to make that bridge. Lord Ram's bridge, 800 miles long. Not 5.6 kilometers, 5 kilometers. 800 miles long bridge, 80 miles wide. And who made it? Monkeys. In how long? 5 days. No bridge in the history of creation that long has been made in 5 days. And everyone gets bewildered. How? How is it possible? But by the empowerment of the Lord, Madhavendra Puri can arrange a festival in one day. The monkeys, who are monkeys after all, can be empowered to make a bridge in 5 days. And Arjuna, as Prabhupada quotes in this purport, can win the war in 18 days. In 18 days' time, Arjuna could win the battle. Against whom? Against 18 Aukshahini divisions of soldiers, his own Narayani Sena. 5 Pandavas with a few people could win. How? Gopala Prabhave, by the empowerment of Krishna. And therefore, by the empowerment of Krishna, anything is possible. You know how much time did it take to start the Gaudiya Math? Do you know how much time it needed to register the Gaudiya Math? After we've decided we should have a Gaudiya Math, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada decided we should have a Gaudiya Math. And after the decision, how much time it took? 5 hours. Within 5 hours. After Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur decided we should have a Gaudiya Math, in 5 hours the Gaudiya Math was registered as a legal organization in Kolkata. You know how? When Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was in Mayapur, Navadvip, 1908, and he was trying to do his 192 rounds daily, and one man called Kunja Bihari Vidyabhushan, who later became Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj, he came to Kolkata. He had heard of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said, I'm looking for this Vimal Prasad, this Siddhanta Saraswati. Where is he? So people in Navadvip said, whenever you find a madman running around on the banks of Ganga, chanting Gaur, Gaur, Nitai, Nitai, understand, he is that Siddhanta Saraswati. You know. So this man was looking for Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is running on the banks of the river Ganga saying, Gauranga Nityananda, Gauranga Nityananda, and chanting 192 rounds daily. And this Kunja Bihari Vidyabhushan came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and said, Swamiji, I want to start a spiritual organization in Kolkata. Do you want to come? You can start. So what spiritual organization? He said, Sankirtan Mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I want to start. Kunja Bihari Vidyabhushan said. He said, Sankirtan Mission? Why go to that sinful city, Kolkata? Sankirtan is in Navadvip. Can't you see? Lord Chaitanya, see, he's dancing. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is telling Kunja Bihari Vidyabhushan, why you are taking me to Kolkata? Sankirtan is here. See, Lord Chaitanya is dancing. See, Nityanand Prabhu, how he is joining Lord Chaitanya and dancing. You go. Get out of here. I don't want to come to Kolkata. Why all this nonsense going to this sinful city? Here is the Sankirtan Mission. Let me participate in the Sankirtan Mission here. And he continued chanting every day. And in 1910, I believe, 1910 or 1912, he decided. My Guru Maharaj just told me. He didn't tell him to go to Kolkata, but to preach, I must go. And he came to Kolkata. And that evening when he came to Kolkata, he met this man, Kunja Bihari Vidyabhushan. He said, I want the Gaudiya Math to be registered. And this man was so powerful and he had so many connections. That evening the Gaudiya Math was registered. Within one day. But for that one day, there was years of preparation. Because of which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was empowered by the Panchatattva to start the Gaudiya Math. Srila Prabhupada, he writes in this purport, within 5 years' time, our movement is spread and people cannot understand. Anne na janila. They don't understand how within such a short time it can spread. But within a very short span it has spread. 65 Prabhupada came and in a year's time, 66 ISKCON was registered. Just within a year's time. So many temples, so many followers. No one understood how material calculation. Prabhupada concludes his purport by saying, by one mundane logic and reasoning one can never understand. Only by empowerment it is possible and a devotee can understand this. Gopal Chand Goswami from Damodar, Radha Damodar temple explains how one day he saw Prabhupada had a cold and in the night. And next morning when Prabhupada got up, Gopal Chand Goswami came and asked Srila Prabhupada, how are you feeling, Swamiji? And very mysteriously Prabhupada said, oh yes, I'm okay. Said, you are okay? You had a cold last night. Your cold is okay? It was so bad in one night it went? Prabhupada said, yes. Last night I was wondering, how will I write this purports to the Srimad Bhagavatam? And my Guru Maharaj came to meet me last night. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to meet me and he gave me instructions on how to write these purports. Another time he was chanting in the Radha Damodar temple, he had tears in his eyes. And Gopal Chand Goswami saw his tears. He came and he said, Swamiji, why are you crying? He said, I'm so grateful. Last night, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and Jiva Goswami All three of them came to my room. They sat in front of me and they explained to me how I should compile the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is only because of Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami and Jiva Goswami that I am able to write these purports to the Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, out of gratitude, I can't do anything but weep tears. No wonder, with that empowerment, Srila Prabhupada could do what he did. Empowerment from the Lord, empowerment from the Acharyas, empowerment from the spiritual master. He worked out wonders, incredibly amazing wonders. You know, and Prabhupada's followers, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, meeting George Harrison. What an incredible miracle. Not many people could go and meet such people at that time. George Harrison of the Beatles. By the empowerment of Srila Prabhupada, the Bhaktivedanta manor came. George Harrison gave the Bhaktivedanta manor. This place is a proof of the verse. Eka dinera udyoge aiche mahotsava kaila gopala prabhave anne na janila. The world cannot understand how and why. One lightning stroke, he goes to ask for a donation for the Krishna book, and suddenly there is a lightning stroke, and there's a power failure. And Shyam Sundar Prabhu has asked him for donation just before, and there's a power failure. And George Harrison says, after that, who can refuse? Take this money for Srila Prabhupada. No one can understand. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, no one can understand how devotees can be empowered to do things beyond their abilities. Things beyond their abilities. You know, Madhukulangana, 79 years old now, last week. 79 years old and with a body like that, who can do service? Who can do service? But when there is blessings and when there is empowerment, my God, what kind of amazing service can be done? Just seeing her walk is a shock to me. You know, at 79 years old, 79 years of age, how much empowerment and service can be done? Anne na janila. The world outside cannot understand, and the world outside cannot understand. Are 79, rest now. You've served all your life, relax. But there is no relaxation, right? Absolutely no relaxation. Day by day, the service simply goes on increasing. Bhakti Vaibhav Maharaj from Germany didn't know one word of English. Never learnt one word of English. The only language he knew was German. And Srila Prabhupada, when he came to Germany, he told, you translate my books in English, and devotees had to translate that to him in German. Translate the books into German. And what did he do? He didn't go to a university. He just took a German to English dictionary. That's all. No teacher, no university. Based on the German to English dictionary, he learnt English and translated Srila Prabhupada's books. How can anyone understand this? How can anyone understand that this is possible? And therefore, it is only possible by empowerment. Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport, if the devotees of the Hare Krishna movement remain in the association of devotees and sincerely try to serve, they'll be empowered beyond their imagination to do things that are absolutely beyond their imagination. How they can serve Krishna, the spiritual master in the mission, is beyond one's ability and to conceive and fathom. And therefore here we read, Eka dine rudyoge aiche mahotsava kaila gopala prabhave hoy anni na janila. In one day, Madhavendra Puri gathered all these people and celebrated such a massive festival. No one understood. How could it be possible? But Madhavendra Puri understood. It is by the empowerment of Sri Gopal that it has been possible in such a short time. Such power is being revealed by the Lord here on the Govardhan Hill. While he was serving Sri Gopal on the Govardhan Hill, Madhavendra Puri got a second dream. And what was his second dream? We will discuss in our concluding session on the lessons from Madhavendra Puri, which is tomorrow. We'll conclude this. We will discuss his second and his third dream. The first dream was, Krishna came in his dream and said, I've been here in this kunja, hidden in this, under the ground, please pull me out. And Madhavendra Puri did it. And the second and the third dream that Madhavendra Puri got, and the lessons from these dreams, we will discuss tomorrow morning. And in conclusion, we'll summarize all the different lessons we learned from all the six classes on lessons from Shripad Madhavendra Puri. Wish to thank all of you very, very much. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. जय श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत की जय, श्रील माधवेंद्र पुरी पाद की जय, श्रील कृष्णदास कविराज गोस्वामी पाद की जय, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, गौर भक्त वृंद की जय, निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे, हरे हरि बोल, हरे कृष्ण।